Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
And now, prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
Sirius XM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You bet your ass, baby.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did you? I say there ain't nobody. I'll say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow now, is there? Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast with host A. Trunk.
Hey, folks, what's up? It's Eddie Trunk, and this is the Eddie Trunk Podcast. New every Thursday, anywhere you get your podcasts, always free. Thank you for listening and checking out the show, and we appreciate it very much. Be sure to subscribe as well, and don't miss anything that comes your way each and every week. News-making interviews with some of your biggest names in rock on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. As I tell you each and every week, every interview you hear on this podcast originated on my Sirius XM radio show, which is called Trunk Nation. You can listen to that Monday through Friday, live 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, on Sirius XM 106 volume. It also replays every night, 10 to midnight Eastern, and full shows, audio, video, and more available anytime you want on the Sirius XM app. If you are only listening to this podcast, and you can get Sirius XM, meaning you live in the US or Canada, you're getting only a tiny, tiny fraction of what I do on a daily basis on the radio. So hope you come on board and join me soon. You also on the Sirius XM side, there is a sixth radio show, which is live on Mondays on Hair Nation. And of course, I've got the terrestrial radio show and a whole lot of other stuff going on. Keep up with everything on social media at Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, fan page on Facebook, and eddietrunk.com is the website. Coming appearances, I will be this coming Saturday in Tulsa. Haven't been there in a while. Hosting Megadeth, Lamb of God, and In Flames at the BOK Center. Hope to see everybody in Tulsa coming up this Saturday night. And this Sunday afternoon, I'll be in Dallas at the Dallas International Guitar Festival, there from noon till 5 p.m. Sunday only, hosting performances by Frank Hannon, John Five, and Paul Gilbert. And then from there, I get on board Cruise to the Edge, and I will be covering the world of progressive rock for a few days on board the ship, bringing live radio shows from the ship on my daily show on Volume. A lot going on. Keep up with everything on my social media. Okay, we got two interviews for you this week. We're going to start off with John Five, who I just mentioned, who is always a frequent guest with me, and it's always great to visit and talk with him, and he's a good friend as well. Now, since we did this interview, you're about to hear this interview, and John is talking about a tour with his solo band he's about to kick off. That tour was unfortunately derailed a few days ago when John Five, just at the start of the tour in Vegas, had COVID and had to go back home and shut that tour down. The good news was, the good news is, I was in touch with John just a couple days ago, and he is back on the road to recovery. Had a pretty bad couple of days, but he told me he's good. He's over the hump. He got some meds in him, and he is about to, at the time you're hearing this podcast, should have resumed that tour and will be good to go to join everybody in Dallas for the guitar event this Sunday. So we'll talk to John about Zombie, solo stuff, his upcoming documentary. Great stuff, as always, from John Five. 5. We'll start with him, and then we'll follow with Gus G, who at the time he did this interview was on tour in the U.S., and we talked to Gus about his own records, Firewind, and of course his time with Ozzy Osbourne. Double dip today on the podcast of two guitar greats, Gus G in a bit, and we start with John 5 right now on the Eddie Trunk podcast. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm looking at your routing. You know, I'm coming west in like a week and a half to L.A., but I'm going to miss you with, you know, flicks and stuff. But maybe on the back end when you get east, it looks like I might be able to see you somewhere. So I'm just looking at your schedule. You're starting to run on the 19th, huh? Show, too.
Yeah, really. Everything's going really great. You know, we're starting, yeah, on the West Coast. We're going to, you know, play everywhere. And shows are selling out, which I'm so happy about. Sellersville is about to sell out and a bunch of other places. But we're going to play in New York at the end of the tour at Les Paul's Club, which is so
Iridium. Rad. Yeah, Iridium.
Yeah. So, and I think Peter's going to come up and, you know, come to those shows, which is going to be cool. And, you know, so you got to try to get to that, you know, because it's such a cool historic place, you know?
You know, it is. I've been in that place and it's very small. So people want to go to that should definitely get tickets. It's like a table vibe. Les Paul, as I'm sure you know, Les did a jam there. I think it was every Monday night. And there would be different people that would go. It was just, he did it right up until he died, too. And, you know, I'll give you another little piece of history about that place, John, is I actually shot a TV pilot there basically what I was trying to do. This was after that metal show, but I basically was trying to do, if you remember that show Inside the Actor Studio?
Of course.
The same format, but with a rock artist. So I needed to do, that was a perfect setting to do it. They had cameras in there and I needed somebody that would do me a solid and be a guest for the pilot. And speaking of Kiss, the guy who did it was Ace.
Yes. And I remember you telling me about that. It's amazing.
Yeah, the show was complete. We shot it. It was like 2 hours long. Obviously edited it down. It would be called Inside Out. And we had a live audience and Ace sat there and I would call out songs and he'd show me the riff or the solo. And we took questions from the audience. It was really good. I don't even know. I don't even know who has it. Like I still believe we could find a home for it, but I honestly don't even know where the demo is for it when we shot it, but it was a few years ago and came out pretty good. I have to look that up, but I've some history in that place as well. And it's a cool little downstairs vibe. So that'll be a good way to kind of go towards the end of your tour. This, of course, for people listening, this is John 5 and the Creatures, which is his trio. You've got the Haxons. Tell me about the band opening.
Yeah, it's Piggy D, who plays bass in Zombie. And he has his band, the Haxons, which is, they're incredible. The singer Ash from New Year's Day, and just a great, great, great band. And we're super excited for them to be on the tour with us. We're just going to have a blast. You know, we're playing really cool venues and like the Les Paul Club, because we're going to shoot, we're going to, well, record another live album, because I'm going to do another live album for Sinner. And the Les Paul song, How High the Moon, the reason we're playing that, I mean, I love Les Paul, and we're going to record that song at that venue, and maybe Georgia with Peter, you know. And I had one of the greatest nights and one of the worst nights of my life at that place, the Iridium. My father died just a couple days before, and I was on tour, and Les Paul, they invited me down to their show, you know, and I was like, oh, you know, this is great. You know, I was really sad, but Les was like, come and, you know, Jim Marshall's going to be there and all these people. And so I went to the show and it was incredible because Les would invite people up from the crowd and all these musicians were unbelievable, Eddie. I mean, they were like top notch. And Les goes, we got a strange looking fella in the crowd tonight. And I was looking around, I was like, uh-oh, you know, and nobody else looks weirder than me in here. And I was like, please don't, please not tonight. You know, I was just not in the right headspace. And, you know, and so they invited me up. And Eddie, I'm telling you, I don't know what happened. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life. It just was amazing. And Les said, I play with a lot of guitar players, but son, you impressed me. And I broke out into tears. It was so much emotion. I couldn't believe it. And it was incredible. So, yeah. So that's why, you know, I just have such a love for that place.
Did you ever get to spend beyond that? That's an amazing experience with Les Paul, obviously. But did you actually really ever talk to him for any extended period of time or no?
Yes, I would actually talk to him on the phone after that.
Oh, wow. Because he lived here in New Jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really cool, you know, and I would just sit and talk to him on the phone and stuff. And it was really neat. You know, it was really cool. It was just two dudes just talking, you know, and that's what was so special.
And he, I don't know if you picked up on this in your conversations with him, but I interviewed him once for TV and he had a hell of a sense of humor right up to the very end.
Yeah. Oh,
he was funny. He said to John, he said to me this, I'll never forget this story, talking about Iridium and talking about people coming to there and all these people that would come up and jam with them or sing with them. Cause Les Paul did a weekly gig at this club, right up until he died. Like Les was, yeah. I think he was in his 90s when he died, but he was still,
right.
He was still sharp. And I did an interview with him. There was a record that came out of a bunch of people that did a tribute to him or something. And this would have been around 2005. It was before I started that metal show. I was doing 3-4 years on VH1 Classic as a host, and they would just throw all kinds of artists at me to sit and interview with. And one time I had Les, and Les was the only time where I asked for something to be signed, because it was Les Paul. I mean, without Les Paul, we might not even have what we have as far as recording and guitars and music. I mean, for people that don't know Les Paul, multi-track recording, what he pioneered is just groundbreaking. So
absolutely.
I'm going over all this stuff with Les, and we're talking about the record. And we're talking about Iridium and him doing this weekly spot there. And I said to him, Les, you've got all these different people that come to see you on Mondays or Tuesdays, whatever the night was. I said, who was the strangest one that you jammed with? And he says, this was all on camera. This aired. He said to me, he goes, you know what, Eddie? He goes, Dr. Ruth.
Oh,
and I said, Dr. Ruth, you mean the sex therapist? And he said, yeah. And I said, what was that like? And he goes, well, she sang. He goes, but you know, the thing that surprised me the most about her was when I shook her hand. And I said, well, what was interesting about that? He said, this is all on TV. She goes, she has the tiniest hands. She has these tiny hands and these tiny fingers like a little doll. And I said, oh, yeah. She goes, she's so tiny. And she's, and I go, oh, okay. And he goes to me, he goes, Eddie, he goes, I like girls with tiny hands. And I said, no. Why is that, Les? And he goes, because it makes my pecker look bigger.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
I almost died. This is on TV.
He was like Don Rickles.
Yes.
He was like Don Rickles.
Like this little old guy is like, because he was small in stature as well. He's like, yeah, I like to be with girls with long hair, small hands, because I feel it's going to make my pecker look bigger.
Oh my
like,
God.
Like, just not what you'd expect from Les Paul, but he just laughed and I laughed and it was just great. So he had just a great spirit about him and was a funny guy. And obviously, like I said, a pioneer. You can't overstate his contributions. It's crazy.
He was a real genius, and he changed everything for us, and we still use his every single day, which is incredible.
Yeah, yep. For sure. So John 5 and the Creatures, you can go to the website, john-5.com, see where the dates are relevant to where you are listening. It starts in Redding, California, April 19th, and as John said, wraps up in New York City, and there's a bunch of stops, obviously, along the way. The Haxons as the special guest. I got to ask you, if I don't know how much you can say about this yet, but you've sent me in advance of it. I've had a chance to see it. I'm honored to have contributed to it. You've got a documentary coming out that is fantastic. When are people going to be able to see that?
The documentary is super cool, and thank you for being a part of it. Also, who's a part of it is Rob Halford, Gary from Skynyrd,
yep.
Rob Zombie, of course, Peter Criss, Katie Lang, Rudy Sarzo, Michael Anthony, Nikki's going to be a part of it, Nikki Six. So we're just going to film some more stuff, a couple more interviews, and then hopefully it'll be out at the beginning of next year. So thank you again for doing it. And it's about like inspiration and going after your dreams and, just going for it, and because there's so many great musicians, Eddie, that are in their house or in their apartment that are afraid to leave the nest. And, it makes sense, but you have to go after your dreams. You have one life. And, there's amazing musicians, amazing songwriters and singers out there that, it's tough though. It's tough to leave your home, your family and everything, to go after your dreams. But hopefully some people will watch us and get a little inspired.
Well, as well as I know you, and for as long as we've been friends, there were things in there that I discovered that I didn't even know about. Like, I always knew about all the people you've written songs with and what have you, but I did not know when Rudy Sarzo came up in the doc. I did not know that you had once had a band with Rudy Sarzo early on in your career. Like, there were things I learned about in this thing.
I'll tell you a quick story. I was playing at Gazzari's, and when it was called Gazzari's, and Rudy was in Whitesnake at the time, and he was like, I want to put a band together. And this promoter in Hollywood said, oh, you have to come see this guitar player, John Lowry. And he goes, okay, I'll come and see it. And we were playing at Gazzari's, and there was like nobody there except for Rudy Sarzo and his wife and a couple waitresses, and I'm not exaggerating. So I'm like, oh my God, Rudy Sarzo's here. It's like we were all freaking out. And we're like, okay. So we go out there, and the singer hits his head, because you walk down these stairs when you play Gazzari's, and he hit his head, and all this blood is coming down his face, all this blood. And the singer just looks at his hand and he's bleeding and goes, guitar solo. And I just rip into a guitar solo. And Rudy thought this was all part of the show. He was like, this is the greatest show ever. And so after that, he took me out to a breakfast at Denny's, at like 2:30 in the morning. And yeah, we started working on a band, and it was incredible. I mean, I met so many people. And Rudy is like one of the main people that he introduced me to so many people and just, gave me my shot, really.
Just a super kind, generous guy, always has been. Rudy's just one of the best. And I just had no idea that you had an early band with him. The band you did with him early on, did you ever record anything?
We went into the studio, and but he was so busy with Whitesnake. This is when Whitesnake was like just like killing, and he just didn't have time to do it. But and he wanted to do it so bad. We have promo pictures and all this stuff, and I don't know if we even did any shows, but we did a lot of writing, a lot of rehearsals and things like that. I'll send you some of the pictures. They're really cool, and he's just the best dude ever.
Yeah, for sure. We'll talk more about this documentary, of course, when people can see it. I mean, I was lucky enough to see it very early, but when it's ready to be released, we'll certainly do something on it. But there was one thing in the documentary that you cover, and I thought it was great that you kind of finally set the record straight on this, because it's a legendary piece of video. And it's from when you were playing with Manson and he charged you and you dropped your guitar and looked like you guys were going to fight on stage and were yelling at each other. Everybody has seen that video. It's, like I said, it's legendary. Everybody's seen it and talked about it. But you actually, for the first time in the documentary, clarify what actually went on there. Can you say it on the air, or do you want to save it for the doc?
Absolutely. No. I can say it on the air. You know, it's, you know, I haven't really talked about it, but of course, Eddie Trunk, my great pal, I'll do it. But it's, what happened was my sister passed away. My sister died unexpectedly, and I was like shocked. I was in Europe, and I was coming down the stairs off a stage, and they told me my sister died, and I was in like a state of shock. You just go.
Somebody dropped that on you, John. John, just to jump in, somebody dropped that on you as you were taking the stage.
Well, I was walking off the stage.
Walking off the stage. What was it, during a break in the show, or?
No, after the concert.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, after the concert. So I was in like this state of shock. And here's a strange thing that happened to me. I don't know if any of the listeners or if you or anybody, but I didn't sleep for days and days and days. It was the strangest thing. I just wasn't tired. And I remember going to the band members' rooms going, I can't sleep. I just can't sleep. I haven't slept in now 2 days or blah, blah, blah. So anyways, fast forward to the show. Now, what Manson did, that happened all the time. You know, he didn't do anything wrong. I just snapped. It was weird. I went nuts. I didn't even remember. I just like snapped. And I feel terrible like watching it now, because I mean, it really was my fault. And what, you can't really hear what he's saying, obviously, but he's saying, pick up your guitar, because it looks like he's going, come on, come on. But he's saying, pick up your guitar, pick up your guitar, because he knew what was going on, you know. And I feel horrible about it. But, you know, it was just a bad situation at that time.
So where everybody who watches that video has always assumed he was fucking with you and that it was him trying to fight you, in reality, that was him skipping towards you like that was something he did all the time on the tour, and you were sleep deprived and mourning the loss of your sister, and you basically just had it and threw the guitar down, and he was yelling at you to pick it up and continue the show.
Right. Yeah. He was actually, you know, it was terrible, because he was so nice during that time and all that stuff. And, you know, I was in such a weird place, you know, and it was just a bad time. And I don't even remember it happening, you know, and it was just terrible.
Yeah. I mean, that just goes to show you how people can reach these conclusions without knowing the backstory. I found that really interesting in the doc. And again, when John's doc is out and available to everybody, we'll do a whole show on the doc, because there's just so much good stuff in it. And I'm sure if you're still shooting a few more things, it's going to even get more fine tuned. The guy you have that does your video stuff, Mike Savage, does killer work. Great, great stuff.
Yeah,
do you think, what have you been in touch with Roth at all? David Lee Roth?
I have. And, you know, I think that might be another interview we're going to get. So it's Mike Anthony's in there, and I think we're going to get Roth. So, yeah, it's going to be a cool documentary. And again, it's about inspiration, like going after your dreams and doing it, you know, because listen, I could have been home. You know, I could have, I'm worried every day that I'm going to wake up and go, whoa, I had this crazy dream. I was this, you know, famous guitar player, and I knew all my heroes, and I played all these shows around the world, and I was married, you know, a hot wife, and I did, you know, I have this great life, and, you know, I just am worried I'm going to wake up one morning and just be like, hey, what's up, dudes? You know, check out this crazy dream I had. Because I appreciate everything that's happened to me. Like you have no idea. Like every time I walk on stage or doing an interview with you or anything, you know, I'm just so appreciative.
Do you think that Roth is done as far as playing? And did you guys talk about the record you made? I know a couple songs came out, but about that actually ever fully coming out?
I don't know. There's one song that I really want him to release, and it's called Nothing Could Have Stopped Us. And it's about Van Halen, and it's kind of like Damn Good, you know, but man, is it good. And if he's going to release anything, I just pray that he's going to release that song, because when I still hear that song, it, you know, now that Eddie's gone, I mean, it just brings tears to my eyes. It's just incredible. This guy, you know, Dave's an incredible writer, and, you know, I don't think he's done. I don't know. I hope he's not. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, he alluded to, and I don't know him at all, but he alluded to when he was, before he pulled the residency, he alluded to the fact that it was something medically related. And I had heard some interviews. He did an interview with Joe Rogan where he talked about how bad his back was and how many issues he has with his back and physically pain like that. So, and he made some comment about, every time I go on stage, my doctor, cringes because it's not good for me. So I'm just putting two and two together that I imagine he's probably dealing with some sort of back and neck pain from all the stuff he's done over the years. And if they can get a handle on that, maybe we'll see him make that residency up.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I hope, because he's David Lee Roth, right?
Yeah, and you know, you'd love to hear him do those songs. You know, interestingly, speaking of Michael Anthony, I saw Sammy at his residency in Vegas a few weeks ago, and I'm sure you heard this, but Sammy, in addition to doing Hagar Van Halen, he did Running with the Devil, and he leaves the stage, and Michael Anthony sings the lead vocal on it. It was killer.
Michael is, it's incredible, because he did that when we were backstage at the Whiskey. We were, you know, I always have a little amp, and we were playing, and he was singing. He sang every song perfect. I was like, oh my God, what is going on here? This guy is incredible. You know, just playing bass and singing those songs, you know, perfectly. I was like, are people hearing what I'm hearing right now? This is like, and we were just backstage, and he kills it. He's a great singer. And of course, an amazing bass player.
Hey, before I let you go, of course, I got to ask you about Zombie, who you also play with, and you got a big run of dates coming up with Rob. The Freak, I love the title of the tour, Freaks on Parade, starts July 20th in Missouri, Mudvayne, Static X, and Power Man 5000. Power Man 5000, Rob's brother, is still in, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And
yeah, that's what I thought.
Killer. Tickets are going like nuts, and I'm super excited. I mean, there's nothing better than being on tour in the summertime. It's like heavy metal summer camp. I love it, man. It's one of my favorite things, you know, and we're going to be actually in your neck of the woods on my birthday.
Which neck, west or east, in Jersey?
East. Yeah. Yeah.
So July 31st.
You have two necks now.
I have two necks. Exactly. I have three chins and two necks.
So, we're going to be in Jersey on July 31st.
And I'm looking at the routing, PNC, where Peter Criss has come out many times to see you there, because he lives right by there.
Yeah, he lives right by there. So, you know, we'll probably see him there, too, at the Iridium and PNC. So it's going to be great. You got to come, man. Come on now.
Yeah, if I'm home, I'm going to come for sure. And the other neck is Vegas, where you have a date there, August 13th. So you've got both, you're touring in both of my necks.
I think I have to change. I have to check with you before we route a tour, make sure we're good.
You're covered. You got both necks covered on this routing for Zombie.
Right.
Of course, you
That's
go to right. robzombie.com, or you can link to it off of John's website as well. And I cannot let you go without asking you about the latest Kiss items that you may have collected. The Knights in Satan Service Instagram, is it still active? Are you still? I thought I saw some stuff, but are you putting as much stuff up there as you used to, or no?
Ed, every day.
I don't go to Instagram as much as I do Twitter. I have to look more.
We're coming up. We're in January 1st. It will be 5 years of not missing one day. 5 years.
For 5 years, you have put an item from your Kiss collection every day you've put it up on your Instagram account to pay tribute to it, Knights and Saint in Service.
Yes. And I have a quick, it's not really a stump the trunk, but it's...
Oh, wait, I'm looking, hold on. I'm looking at it right now. Here it is. Okay. You've got some blue label version of Kiss Alive. I'm looking at what you posted most recently, which Sebastian Bach must just drool when he looks at this.
He goes crazy. Yeah,
he's got to go crazy. I'm looking through it right now. You've got really cool ads up here. You've got all kinds of stuff. All right, I see. I'm catching up now.
So I have it's a very strange fact, if you will, a Kiss, fact. On the Destroyer tour, I guess it's like a stump the trunk, okay? On the Destroyer tour, they did not play a certain big hit on the Destroyer tour. What was that song that they did not play until the Rock and Roll Over tour?
By the way, I'm looking at like one of your posts, like six different versions of Dress to Kill. You're out of your mind. What big hit did they not play on the Destroyer tour that they didn't start doing till the following tour? I'm going to take a shot and say Beth.
Yes. Is that wild?
Yeah, well, but not really, because I think that came later in the arc of the... Because, of course, we all know the story of Beth. It was a B-side. It wasn't intended to be a hit single. It became one. And then I'm sure they were probably trying to figure out, okay, how the hell do we do this live with an orchestra? Like, that was going to take some preparing, right?
Exactly. You can't stump the trunk on Kiss.
You probably can, but I will admit it's tough on that one. But if you think about that challenge... Tough. What do? You've got this bombastic fire and brimstone heavy rock band, and then out of nowhere, a huge hit with the drummer singing that's all orchestrated. It was going to take them a year to figure out how the hell to do it. And then when it became such a big song, they figured, we got to do this, which of course was, them coming out to a recorded track and Peter just doing the live vocal, which is how it was for years. But that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, that actually... really quick, somebody was selling a road case and they found the original reel to reel of the instrumental of Beth.
Wow. And when they do that, even I believe to this day, if they still do it, they clip it. It's really only like 2 minutes long, because they clip out that extended orchestra piece, because at the time they didn't want Peter just sitting out there with nothing to do, because there's that extended piece with no vocal.
If we were kids, like we would get along so well, because all the facts about Kiss. You're absolutely right on that.
Yeah. And so it's probably like two minutes long in total. Anyway,
yeah,
buddy,
right.
We could talk forever. You're always welcome. You know that. Anything that you want to hit that I didn't hit already that you want to mention?
No, thank you. That's it. And thank you so much. Love the show. And, hopefully we'll see you on the road. You got two necks. So hopefully we'll catch up on the road.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, thanks to John Five. As I mentioned, we have another great guitar player on the podcast for you this week. It's former Aussie guitarist Gus G. Checked into the radio show when he was on tour with his band Firewind. We talked about them. We talked Aussie. We talked solo stuff. Here he is, Gus G, on this week's podcast. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Eddie. What's happening?
How are you, man? What are you on the road, right? You're here in the U.S. playing with Dragon Force, right?
Yeah, man. We're back. We're in St. Louis today. Thanks for having me on, man. I'm really, really, really good to talk to you and catch up. Yeah.
Last time I saw you, I think you were playing at the House of Blues. I might have been around NAMM a couple years ago. You were in that side room at House of Blues, and I watched you doing your solo thing. That was a lot of fun. Was that the last time you toured in the U.S.?
That was it, yeah. That wasn't even a tour. That was just like, a NAMM show, basically. That was basically the last thing I did since the pandemic. I mean, yeah, January 2020, and then everything got shut down, and yeah.
And, of course, you put out a record, Gus, a record, Quantum Leap, last year, which I got to tell you, man, I think it's really cool. I mean, what I love about your playing is the melody you put into the stuff you do, and there's a lot of that on the record. The record you did last year, your most recent solo record, was that a byproduct of the pandemic?
It was, yeah. Yeah, I mean, by April 2020, I realized that, okay, we're going to be stuck here at home for at least a year. So in the beginning, honestly, like most people, I felt inspired. Everybody enjoyed their time at home. I mean, at least a lot of the people that I talked to, they kind of enjoyed that kind of lockdown, the first one. So I got to write a bunch of stuff, and I decided to do a full instrumental guitar record, which I had, I never really got around to doing it. I had scattered instrumental tracks here and there on my records, but never like a full on thing. And yeah, like you said, it's a byproduct of the pandemic. The first lockdown, basically sat there in my home studio, did it all, wrote it, recorded. And then, last year we put it out.
What are you, as a guitar player, doing an all-instrumental records? I think it's challenging for people who aren't guitar players like myself to keep interest in that. But what you did with this record, you made things very concise, and the vocal melody is almost what you're playing on the guitar on some of the songs. Is that intentional? Is that what you were kind of reaching for?
Yes, spot on, basically. I'm a guitar player, and I enjoy all the technical and all the weird stuff, but even to my ears, it can get tiring after a while. So when I listen to music, to instrumental music, I wanted to have that kind of songwriting orientation kind of thing. So I like the lead instrument to be able to take the role of the vocals. And that way, you need strong melodies, as if a singer would need a good melody, a good chorus melody, So, because it's easy with instrumental music, you can just do whatever. So it's easy to get lost into that world of changing keys, tempos, playing all kinds of things. And sometimes you can easily forget about the song. And, I'll tell you what, I did a lot of, I went back and listened to a lot of my favorite Joe Satriani records for inspiration to make this record, and to me, like, Joe is like that kind of guy he can make music. You don't really miss the vocals. The guitar does all the talking, which is great.
Yeah, well, I've said this before, and Joe's been on with me recently, and so has Steve Vai, and actually we're going to do something with Joe and Vai and Eric Johnson, the original G3 tour. We're reuniting all of them. I'm doing a special with them on Monday, actually. But I thought about this. It's very rare for instrumental guitar records to break through and have success. And if you really think about it, Satriani is the only guy that really had actual hit songs doing that early in his career. That's a pretty rare thing to be able to do. And I think a reason for it is there's melody around all the guitar fireworks. And I think that's what kept people who aren't so into the technical aspects of guitar interested.
Yes, yes, it's a melody. I mean, melody is king in everything you do. I mean, that's how that's what you need in order to resonate with an audience and with a broader audience. And I feel the same way. Like, I can't listen to, and I told you, like, as a guitar player, I can't listen to something for more than 10 minutes if it's just technical stuff and too much into prog and all that stuff. I can't stand it. I need to have melodies. And and that's why I love, you know, Joe's records and that stuff. And I felt that this is the way to go for my record too. I mean, sure, there's a lot of guitar all over the place and different, I'm exploring different avenues here and there, but I'm treating a verse like a verse and a chorus like a chorus. Is like a, what would a singer do? You know, we need a strong hook here. And I'm glad it worked out. I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed it, you know, being a music fan and not a guitar player. So this means that I did something right.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, Gus, when you said lockdown at home during the pandemic, do you still live in Greece?
I do, yeah. Yeah.
How were things there during the whole lockdown and everything? How did you guys do in that country?
Originally, the COVID cases were really low in Greece, and then all of a sudden it started rising, you know, and we had some pretty strict measures for many months, and people got really tired. And then because Greece is such a tourist country, everything opened up again for the summer so that, you know, the tourists can come in and people can work and all that. And then after September, again, everybody's like, oh, cases are going up. So, you know, another lockdown. So it's been two very tiring and boring years, honestly. But now, hopefully we're reaching the end of it. And you know, I was like at the Monsters of Rock cruise last month, and I was like, it feels like America is like a totally different world from the rest of Europe. Like I came here and like everybody was really excited, and like the restrictions are like being limited more and more. And people seem to, you know, things seem to be back in business here, which was nice to see. You know what I mean? I'm not saying the pandemic has gone away. You know, COVID will still be there for years to come, but people are going back to it.
Things happening. That's the important thing. You know, I completely forgot you were on the cruise because there's, as you know, the ship is so big and there's so many bands on that cruise that you can literally go the whole cruise, and it happens all the time where I don't see anybody. Like, I know Tommy Henriksen from Alice Cooper's band was looking for me the whole time. We were supposed to get together, missed him the whole time. So it's crazy. I mean, it's a great time, but it's a lot of people and it's a lot of bands, and it's very difficult. It's very easy to completely miss people for a whole week on that thing.
Absolutely, yeah. And this ship, like, because the last one I was on, it was like a 2016, and that was a smaller ship, but this one was like the big one, the Royal Caribbean. And like, you're right, I did miss a lot of buddies that I wanted to catch up with and stuff. Like, yeah, I'll see you, and then you never see anybody.
Right, and then you don't know who has internet that gets texts and who doesn't, so you're texting people, but you don't know if they're ever getting them. And then when you get off the ship, they're like, I just got 6 texts from you. I didn't get the internet, so you never really know.
Right, right, right. But it was a fun cruise, man. It was fun. I got to see a lot of gigs. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, it was great that came back. Hey, I got to ask you something real quick about Greece. So I've never been there, and this kind of ties in a little bit with your solo record, because you've got Vinnie Moore guesting on the solo record, right?
Yes, yes, on one song.
And I love Vinnie, and I love his playing as well, and I love UFO that Vinnie has played in for like 15 years now. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the final ever UFO show is going to be later on this year in Greece. I think it's in Athens.
It's in Athens, yes. I don't live in Athens. I live in Thessaloniki, which is like far up in the north in the mainland. But it's kind of, it was shocking to see that. Why is UFO playing their last show ever in Greece? But you know what? Their first show ever with Vinny was also in Greece. And I was at that show. It was in 2003, I want to say, or 2002, maybe. And that was his debut with UFO, and I went to that gig. And I don't know, maybe they just want to come full circle and end it in Greece with that lineup where it started. It could be one of the reasons.
I think it's just the fact that that's the dates they had left, and that's kind of just how it ends. I mean, you would think UFO ends in London, right? But they're going to end in Greece. So I may have to come over. I'm contemplating coming over for the first time ever because I love UFO so much. I want to see them one last time. So
if you can make it, come over and then, you know, stay a little bit, see a little bit of the country, and we'll hang out for sure. I'll show you around.
You know that venue that they're playing? Do you know where that venue is? You've ever been there?
I think we've played there with Firewind. It must be the Fuzz Club, I believe.
Yes.
I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's a nice club, a big one, big venue. Yeah, it's good. It'll be
good,
an episode, without a doubt.
Now, you mentioned Firewind, which is the band you're on tour right now in the U.S. with. Again, you're supporting Dragon Force. And for folks listening, if you are in St. Louis, you're playing St. Louis tonight, if my schedule is correct.
Tonight.
The tour just started.
Right.
How's it been going so far?
Oh, it's been great, man. We just played in Denver, the first show. And then last night we were in Lawrence, Kansas. And believe me, in all my touring years, I don't think I've ever been to Kansas. It's just not happening. It was great there. And it was, you know what, here's another thing, because of the pandemic, speaking of that, like, I, you know, it was a limited, like, it was like a last minute thing. Like, me and Herman Lee, the guitarist of Dragon Force, we go way back. We've been buddies for like 20 years, and we toured with the Dragon Force guys like 15 years ago. And he's like, well, dude, the special guest canceled, like, can you guys get on it? And like, dude, I have like a month and a half. I don't know, we have to get visas. And we rushed to get our visas as quick as possible. And it's a process, you know, to get American visas. And, you know, we made it like literally the day before we got on the plane to fly out here. We got our visas and now we're here, and it's been great. Couple of shows. And it's a long tour, man. It's like 5 weeks. We got 28 shows ahead, and really looking forward to it. We're really excited.
Yeah, you run through April 23rd. You got to stop in Vegas on the 20th. I see I've got a second home there now, so if I'm in town, I'll try to come see you there at House of Blues, which is a great venue there. You're in New York on April 3rd, Irving Plaza, Worcester, yes. Mass. A lot of shows here. You can go to the band's websites and check it out. So tell me, for those that don't know, I mean, Firewind has been going now for 20 years. That was the band that you were doing when Ozzy found you and pulled you for his band. And
yes.
So is it the type of thing for you with Firewind that you always have and you will go back to and use different versions? I know you've got a vocalist in the band now, Herbie Langens. Tell me about where Firewind is at now in terms of for you and your commitment and priority.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Firewind is, like you said, you know, that's where Ozzy found me when that's what I was doing. That was my band since I was a kid. And this year we're celebrating like 20 years. You know, it's been it's the anniversary of the debut album, which is insane to think that, you know, we've been making records for 20 years. You know, we've been on a small hiatus at some point, and then we came back. We, you know, we've had, like I said, several lineups. But the past 2 years, we've had Herbie Langens in the lineup. He's a great singer from Germany. He's also a part of Avantasia. I don't know if you've heard of that band. It's a huge band, like almost like a rock opera with many great singers involved, and, you know, like guys like Eric Martin and Jeff Tate and people like that involved. And Herbie's part of that. And now, you know, he's with us. We made the last record. He sings on the last record, which is a self-titled album, came out May 2020, but, you know, everything was canceled. We were supposed to come out here back then with Symphony X, but the tour got canceled, as everything else. So now we finally have a chance to go back out and play and play that new material and also celebrate the past 20 years. And that's it. You know, Firewind will always be my band. I will always go back to that. I will always make records, you know. Honestly, I really don't know why it took us, like, this is like the first tour we're doing in the States in 9 years. I'm not sure why. I think I got caught up with a lot of the solo tours in between and kind of forgot about Firewind sometimes there to tour and to bring over to the States. But we plan to do a lot more here now.
Well, as I mentioned, the tour is running through April 23rd. It's just started. You're jumping up to Canada as well for a couple shows. So for folks listening around the country, check out the website. Or where's the best place to go for everybody to look? Is it a Firewind site? Is it your own site, Gus? Where should people go to look for the dates?
Yeah, either our website, firewind.gr, or on our Facebook, or our social media. All the stuff is on there, all the links, our Bands in Town page, or even on Dragon Force's website, and you'll find the dates out there. So, yeah, if you just Google Dragon Force or Firewind, you'll see the dates. And, we're playing a lot of major markets, like you said, and all over the country, East Coast, West Coast. So, yeah.
And, Gus, your history with Ozzy was pretty brief. You did the one record, Scream. Looking back on that whole period, obviously amazing to be in Ozzy's band and to have made a record with them and all of that. But in some ways, do you feel like it was, a little too brief? Do you wish that you could have done more and had more time in there?
Of course, it would have been nice to do a lot more, I mean, if you think about it, I was in the band for 6 or 7 years and we kind of like did a record and a world tour. But then it was like there was a Sabbath farewell reunion in between. And then we would do like scatter shows here and there. So, I thought after the Scream record, we would basically do a tour and then go back and do another record. But then the Sabbath reunion was there. But that's one way to look at it. But I'm the kind of guy who tends to really think of what happened and not what didn't happen. Do you know what I mean? It was just incredible to be a part of that organization, part of that band and do that, what we did. And sure, it would have been nice to do another record and get to write some stuff with him. We had a couple of things that we were working on the road, actually. We even wrote a couple of songs, but they never came to life, basically. So it is what it is,
Well, it's great that you at least, I didn't realize you were in there that long and that the Sabbath thing took up some of that time. But, I was talking the other day because there's two guitar players that I feel don't get a little overlooked for their time in Ozzy, yourself and Joe Holmes, who never made a record with Ozzy, but actually toured with them for like 7-8 years. And I thought he was phenomenal as well. So at least you got to do the Scream record. When you look back on that record, now that some time has passed, what are your thoughts about it?
Yeah, I think it's still a great record. There's some great moments on there. I mean, I still love a lot of the material. Let Me Hear You Scream. That was the big song off of that album, and it's a great song. There's some material that I really love. The ballad Time or Life Won't Wait. There's some really good stuff in there. It's kind of hard for guys like Ozzy that are so legendary and have such an amazing body of work, for their newer stuff to kind of like get that, they don't get noticed as much as their classics, which is, it's only natural, right. They have such iconic songs. But if you dig through their discography, you'll find great songs all over the place. And I think that really, it happens in Ozzy's case for sure. Any record of his, even the most overlooked record of his that you pick up, there's great songs in there all over.
Do you still talk to him at all? Have you heard from him at all? I know he's been dealing with some health issues, but are you still in any contact with him?
I not with him directly. Every now and then there'll be like the odd email to Sharon, hi, how everybody's doing and all that stuff. So, we're in good terms. And the last I heard was that, he was going to be doing he was going to be having another surgery maybe this year, and that he's healing, from the accident that he had, and he hopes to be back on stage. And I really hope that he can come back and do his farewell dates that I think he's postponed like 3 times by now.
Yeah. No, I think that's going to be challenging, but we'll see. Last thing on Ozzy, and then I'll let you go. I was always curious about this. You mentioned the catalog that he had as a guitar player. What was your favorite stuff that you had of the catalog to play, whether it was the Randy stuff or the Zach stuff or the Jake stuff? What were the songs that you played live with him that you most looked forward to digging into as a player that you didn't play on originally?
Oh man. I'll use a quote from Mike Borden, who was in Ozzy's band for many years, and of course of Faith No More. Because I got to do a couple of gigs with Mike Borden before Tommy came in, and Mike said, you get up there, man, he said, and you're literally like playing the Bible of heavy metal. So it's like, like all the songs are just incredible. But you know, I love always the opening of the set. We opened with Bark at the Moon. That's one of my favorite songs of all time. Of course, the Randy stuff, you know, Mr. Crowley is one of my favorites. I'm glad we got to do some stuff off Ultimate Sin that he hadn't done like in years, like, you know, Killer of Giants, things like that. Those were some of the special moments for me that I really enjoyed throughout the set.
Yeah, those are some great ones for sure. And last thing I wanted to mention to you, I noticed as far as gear is concerned, you came out with your own line of pickups recently.
I did, yeah. Yeah, a couple of years ago. You know, it's like a side hustle, you know. It's called Blackfire Pickups. And, you know, just like many things, you know, it came out of necessity. I just wanted to do more versions of pickups and stuff like that for my guitars. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to go to a factory and then ask them to make me some prototypes, and I'll see what happens. And I put them on my new guitars, my Jackson guitars. And then next thing you know, like some of my friends are, the guitar players are using it. And it's, you know, it's a, like I said, it's a side hustle. It's a small company, but we're getting really good feedback so far. And I'm always like trying to improve my tone, you know? So I guess every musician is trying for that.
Yeah, and look, you never know where that goes. I mean, Eddie Van Halen built an empire on it, and now Zach is doing a lot with that. Zach is doing a ton with amps and guitars and wild audio and all that stuff he's doing. So there's definitely, you can get some traction with that. There's definitely some big business there to do.
Yes, a lot of guitar players nowadays are, it's not a taboo so much, like to do your own company and do your own thing. And you see a lot more guitar players like branching out and doing that. Like you said, Zach has wild audio, and you know, guys like Tosin Abasi does his own guitars, and you know, Ola England has solar guitar. So it's like, it's a thing that, you know, you can, if you can create a good product, and I think that's what it's about, you know, having that quality in the product. And then, you know, if you're a guy who has a name, then it's you never know what happens. And but most important is that you have what you use, you believe in the gear that you use. It's I've always done like that, you know, even with endorsements and stuff. It's not like somebody just hands you a guitar like, oh, pose for it, and then I'm using this, but you're not really using that. It's important that you really, you know, believe in what you're using, the gear that you have up there on stage, and that really is part of your sound.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, man, it's great to visit with you for a few minutes, and good you got a lot of stuff going on. Once you wrap up this tour, what's going to happen after that? You're going to go out and do more solo stuff, or what's the plan when you wrap up with this run you're on?
We're going to go back. Well, we had a European tour in May, but that got canceled. So like I was telling you, like Europe is like almost the exact opposite of the States right now. But we have a few summer festivals over in Europe. We're going to do some stuff in July and August. It's going to be a combination of solo shows and Firewind shows, depending on the territory and the country. And then we're looking at some more things in the fall, maybe go to South America. And I think we're going to be back in the States early next year again. So we're working on that.
Very cool. Well, people listening, if you're in the St. Louis area, you can see Dragon Force, Firewind, Visions of Atlantis, and Seven Spires. That's the full tour. That's the bill tonight at Red Flag, tomorrow in Milwaukee at Rave, and then on the 25th, Minneapolis, 26th, Chicago, playing pretty much every night, pounding it out. So safe travels out there, man. Good luck to you, and hopefully I'll catch you at a show somewhere soon.
Thank you very much for having me, Eddie. Great to catch up. And yeah, hopefully see you soon.
All right. Take care, Gus.
You too, buddy. Bye-bye.
Always great to talk to Gus. Also, thanks earlier for John 5 checking in. And again, John is back and recovered from COVID and getting ready to resume his tour if he hasn't already. So that's good news. That's a development that happened since I recorded that interview, or I should say had John on live a couple weeks ago on the radio show. All right, thank you for listening to the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Appreciate it. Don't forget, there are new episodes every Thursday. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss one. Follow on social media at Eddie Trunk. Thanks to Joel Pollack for producing. And I will catch you guys next Thursday and hopefully see you on the road. If you're in Tulsa on Saturday, if you're in Dallas on Sunday, if you're going on cruise to the edge, I'll see you out there. Have yourselves a good week, everybody.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.